Three things are too wonderful for me, four I do not understand. And the first thing he lists is the way of an eagle in the sky. Everybody say that with me. The way of an eagle in the sky. I want to talk to you just a few minutes this morning about the way of an eagle in the sky. And then we're going to pray together. I believe God's going to challenge our hearts and stir us up afresh and new. Father, we ask you by the precious name of Jesus. We ask you with all we know within us that you would open our hearts that we can receive. Would you take the word and break it like you did bread that day and feed every one of us to where there's leftovers. There's so much that there's more than enough. We pray for that, Father. You would answer us abundantly above. We ask you today that you would do more than we're asking. Lord, we don't even know, but you know, Lord. And so we ask you even needs that we do not know that we have, that you would supply for them. We give it to you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering, would you? All right, you can be seated today. The Bible likens us many times to all kinds of different things, from wrestlers to soldiers to you name it, boats, vessels, salt, light on a hill, trees by a river, vines, branches, on and on. But one of the things the Bible likens us to is an eagle. Everybody say eagle. Eagle. And there is a difference between eagles and buzzards, if you know what I'm talking about. And Isaiah chapter 40 says it this way. They that wait, everybody say wait, for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like what?
Eagle.
You will be like an eagle in the sky. And yet Proverbs says, there is a way that is too wonderful for me that I cannot understand. And he said, one of those is the way of an eagle in the sky. And yet the Bible says, if we were to wait on the Lord, and the word wait means to assemble together, to be with. It's a Hebrew picture word of a vine that wraps itself around a tree. It gets its strength from the tree, not of its own. And it says, they that do that, that intertwine themselves with God, that they literally will experience the way of an eagle in the sky. Yet the writer of Hebrews, as wise as he was, said, there's one thing that is too wonderful for me. That is the way of an eagle in the sky. How many's ever got the chance to see an eagle? Let's see. How many got a chance to see an eagle fly? You saw him flying. Well, how many saw it in the wild? Saw an eagle in the wild flying. Okay, numbers of you. And the writer of Proverbs says that it's literally too wonderful. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. First thing is that literally an eagle can fly over 75 miles an hour on a normal day. It can get up speeds. In fact, when it dive bombs and goes after its prey, it exceeds 100 miles an hour. Sort of like some of your driving, but it's 100, goes over 100 miles an hour. It literally is one of the fastest birds on planet Earth. But one of the more incredible things about the eagle is its eyesight. An eagle, its eyes are disproportional to its head. If you've ever saw an eagle, and all that you see of the eye socket is a little bit of it, because the majority of the eye socket is inside its head. It's called bird eyes. It's got, you know, where it's bird. That's why it's got a little bird brain. It's got so big eyes. Those sockets go all the way back. And an eagle can see forward and sideways at the same time. A lot like your mom. Remember your mama? She could see forward and sideways at the same time. And they had 270-degree peripheral vision. Not only that, their eyes are not fully developed when they're hatched. When a little eagle is hatched, inside its eyes, there is a series of tissues folded into pleats. And each of these pleats contain a fine network of lymph tubes. And these lymph fluid that's in those is electrolytes. And that means they are affected by the magnetic pole. That means that the Earth's magnetic pole, their eyesights are affected by that. And the way it works is that eagles are not migrating birds. They don't migrate during the migrating season. They stay where they are. And the reason is, as they grow older, those eyes become fixed. And what happens is this, that they build nests, and they literally nest the entire life where they are. And if they're ever away from that, there's this pull back toward the nest. Because an eagle will never feel at home until it's home. Come on, somebody. No matter where it is, it'll never feel at home. And I've learned this in my life. The older I get, the more fixed I'm getting on heaven. Because I'm never at home until I'm in heaven. I'm on the earth. I live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I eat crawfish etouffee. But I am not home until I get to heaven. I don't know what's at the Lamb, Supper of the Lamb, but I've got a feeling there'll be a occasion portion for all of us down on some end of the table. But I'm not home until I there's always this pull. Paul the Apostle said, I'm in between two. I'd rather go on and be with the Lord, but more needful to stay here. But he said, but the magnetic pull of my heart is heaven right now. And I tell you, much as I love this life, I'm ready to go. In fact, you can have my, well, no, Jasmine will be here. You can have my house, my car. You can't, she's going to get all that if I go first. But if we were to go together, you know, if we were to go together, that's what she's believing God for. But there's something about an eagle is literally that. And that's what I've learned. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he gets old, he'll not depart from. You know why? Because he'll get fixed. His eyesight will get fixed on the Lord. And even though he gets away, there'll be this magnetic pull pulling them back. I've learned about treating them when they're young and doing that. Another thing is the eagle almost always eats what it finds. It finds what it eats. It never eats what it finds. You know, it's like this. Let me say, you know, a buzzard, when you look up and you see a buzzard, buzzards will circle for hours to find something, make sure it's dead. Is that right? Be something run over on the road, you'll see buzzards up there. You know what they're doing? They're just making sure it's dead before they come down to get it. An eagle doesn't eat dead things normally. An eagle finds what it eats. It's up there on the altitude. It's soaring. It's looking for a rabbit. It's looking for a salmon. It's looking for for a squirrel. It's looking for a snake. They love to eat snakes. I'll get in there in just a second. But they do that continually. And what I've learned is this. Eagle Christians are very choosy on what they eat. Buzzards will eat anything. Just run over it. They'll eat it. Armadillo, they'll eat it. You run over it, they'll eat it. And eagle Christians, though, are very choosy. See, a buzzard person, they'll eat a Bible verse on Sunday and go out an R-rated movie on Monday. Come on, somebody. But an eagle Christian is very choosy on what they watch. They're very choosy on what they eat. They're very choosy on what they accept into their body. Some of you are very, very conscious about physical, what you eat and what you don't eat. How much more should we be on the spiritual things we allow in our bodies? How much more in our hearts and our souls? Jesus said, be very careful what you hear. Be very careful what you allow to hear, because it will determine your outcome. It will affect your life. Even though you don't think it will. That's like you sitting there and one day saying, I think I'll eat me a chocolate cake. I'll just eat the whole thing at one time. You eat it and you think it didn't affect me. It will. Come on. Amen. Moment on the lips. Come on, somebody. So you get it and you eat it and you think it. But that's what happens. But eagle Christians are very, very, very particular about what they eat, because they know the power of it. Their diet, literally because of their diet, their physique is that of a weightlifter, an eagle. Huge chest, small waist. Some of us were there one time. Big, just wingspan. And because of that, they don't have to have a runway. They just take off. I mean, eagles can just launch themselves. Because they're powerful physique, the eagle doesn't need a runway. It just takes off. The eagle is one of the only creatures that's able to go into the second heaven. The first heaven, as we call it, goes somewhere between 10 and 15,000 feet. But the eagles have the ability to go into the second heaven. There's a few other creatures that can do that, but the eagles is one of them. And the amazing thing is there was a newspaper article in the Dallas Times, and it said that a Delta airline pilot was shocked. It was flying, and I forgot how many feet up it was, but a salmon hit the windshield of the plane. Stuck there. There's a salmon on the windshield of this Delta plane. And an investigation, all they could figure was that a eagle was in the second heaven flying and was startled by this aircraft coming by and dropped its salmon. Come on, somebody. But the amazing thing is the eagle, they say many times, that the eagle literally, most of the time, flies up there during storms. And I'll get that in just a minute. But they fly at altitudes other birds cannot fly at. Let me tell you something about eagle Christians yearn for the high altitudes of God. They're not satisfied living down where buzzards and turkeys and all those live. They're ready for the high altitude. How many is ready for the high altitudes of God? I mean, the eagle Christians are those that want to live and soar in the heavens. They want to be with God. They live and they minister on the earth, but at the same time, they don't live in the sweet by and by all the time. You got to get your head up in the sweet by and by ever so often, not in the nasty now and now. They begin to go up into the heavens sometimes, and God begins to speak to them, and they begin to learn that. Eagles live up and are able to go up to the second heavens. Most of the time, you'll find an eagle in the second heaven. I love this, is during times of storm. I don't know how many of you have animals or dogs or cats or whatever, but when the thunder starts and the lightning starts, what does your animals do? I don't know about yours. They all bunch at my door ready to get in. If I open my door, choo, here they all come in at one time. They try to hide. They get under something. They're scared. But you know what an eagle does? An eagle is one of the few creatures that is not intimidated by a storm. They say in the Eskimos in Alaska, one of my friends went there and spent a month and studied eagles. He said, it's amazing what will happen. He said he watched an eagle. When the storm hit, instead of hiding like the other animals, that eagle actually, as it appeared, actually challenged the storm. That he literally took off, and they have the ability to lock their wings. And what they do is their wings can break before they bend. They'll lock those wings, and when they hit a turbulence, when they hit a storm, the guy said, they literally will bounce up, and the storm, instead of driving them down, will make them go higher. Come on, somebody. You ought to let the storms of your life drive you to God and drive you higher to God. See, pressure ought to, it can either move you away from God, or pressure can move you close to God. And when you learn that thing, when a storm comes, you ought to challenge the storm. We've come a lot of times out of Baton Rouge Airport. We got on these little flights, and there'll be storm and raining, and these little jets will take off. And you know what? It'll be bumpy, and it'll be all that, and all of a sudden you break through the cloud layer. How many know there's a sun shining above the storm wherever you are? And whatever you're facing, you need to come to that place. Instead of becoming like the normal person, you ought to challenge the storm and let God, let the air currents bounce you higher. Let the storms of your life take you closer to God, not away from God. Come on, come on, give the Lord a good clap off today. Come on. And one, because it's a king of the air, has many enemies, a condor and other things. I'm going to tell you something about living an eagle Christian life. If you don't have any enemies, it probably means you aren't doing much for God. Because Jesus said, listen, don't be surprised. They hated you. They hated me. They're going to hate you. If everybody thinks great of you, you ought to check yourself a little bit. You ought to be kind. You ought to be an example. But let me tell you something. If you're really living the eagle life of a Christian, you will stir up the powers of hell. And they will come against you. And they will, because sometimes you got to say it. You just got to say what you got to say. You got to be a light in dark places. I don't know about you, but the roaches in my house does not like it when I turn the light on. Come on, somebody. They all scatter. They go hither and thither. Whatever. Jasmine says there's no roaches in our house. All right, we'll just believe God. So instead of getting in the dumps, you got to lift your head up. Listen, when you have storms in your life, instead of getting depressed, you ought to tell God, thank you, God. That means I'm doing something that the forces of the devil think I'm worth their time. I must be a threat to their count, to whatever they're doing. Lord, thank you for using me. Thank you for that. Thank you. That means I'm a threat. They're trying to come against me. And you come to that place where you understand the only reason, the only people they attack are those that are strong in the Lord. The enemy, as I said, is a condor. And I love it because the condors cannot fly. They're bigger birds. But they cannot fly as fast as the eagle. And the eagle has the ability, unlike a few other creatures can do this, because of their eyelids, they have two of them, they can stare straight into the sun. They can, without blinking, they can stare straight into the sun. And what they do is, when their enemies chase them, and the condors, they say, normally come in packs when they attack the eagle. You know what the eagle does? He doesn't stay and fight. He just launches himself and heads straight for the sun. And it's not long before those condors have to peel off. And he is literally by himself because he set his face steadfast on the sun. And I'm going to tell you, there are times when you need to learn this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you need to set your face, fix your eyes, fix your gaze on the Son of the living God and take off for him. Just look at him, love him. Draw near to him, wait upon the Lord, and you will mount up with wings like eagles. And all those things will begin to wash off your life. There's a lot of fights that you fight you should never have fought. I've learned this in my life. I never let the devil drag me into a fight. If the Spirit leads me, that's one thing. But I've learned this. There's a lot of fights. That's how he wears you out. He tries to get you with this fight and then this fight and then the next fight and get you upset about this and get you upset at your husband. He even tries to get Jasmine sometimes mad at perfect me. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can't believe it. I mean, I know you can't believe it, but it's true. And it's one of those miracles, you know. Eagles clean themselves every day. You got a cat, you know a cat. How many, you know, the other day we had a cat, a stray cat, took it to the vet and had some mange on or something, wingworm or something. And the vet looked at me and said, now you need to give this cat a bath about every other day. Yeah. How many's ever tried to give a cat a bath?
Yeah.
I said, you can keep the cat. I'm gone. Thank you. There, right there. But you know what? These eagles, they clean themselves. They have air. They push air out of their beaks as they bring their wings through their beak. It's sort of like dry cleaning. And they clean their beaks. Let me tell you something about cleaning yourself. If you're an eagle Christian, you're one that cleanses yourself every day. But, you know, how many has ever left your house without looking in the mirror? Anybody ever done it? You ever left your house without looking in the mirror? Nobody? I'm asking you a question. How many's ever done that? You ever let? And then at the end of the day, said I should have looked in the mirror. But let me tell you, the Bible says washing of water by the Word of God. You're cleansed through the washing of water by the Word of God. The Word of God is a mirror. The Word of God is your mirror. It's the cleansing agent. You know, I don't know if you've ever been reading and felt convicted by the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God can cleanse you. Every day you need to get in the Word. Not so you can check, okay, I do my Bible reading. I must be my store in heaven there because I finished my Bible reading today. You know what is better if you just get one verse and let the Holy Spirit use it and deal with your heart on it. Memorize it. Personalize it. Get it in your heart and soul. Let it be like cleansing of your heart and your soul to where God, you ordain your steps by it. Every day you ought to cleanse. If you're an eagle Christian, you cleanse yourself. And then Deuteronomy chapter 32 says this. I love this. Deuteronomy 32, like the eagle that stirs up its nest. Now leave that scripture up there a little while, would you? The eagle, the nest of an eagle, Eskimos say, they live a lifetime to see an eagle build a nest. It's amazing. They say with those talons, they can cut up to a 6-inch limb and rip it off. It's amazing. They say that the talons are so sharp. That their beak is so sharp. You know, one thing I've learned this in life, they have to continue like fingernails. You have to keep clipping your fingernails. Cut your hair. Their beak and their claws are that way. They have to continually all their life put them against rocks. Their beaks against rocks to keep them trimmed down and keep them sharp. But they do that continually. But they use them to build a nest. And these nests are unbelievable. In fact, they say that some of these nests are so big they weigh over 1,000 pounds. They found some. Almost 2,000 pounds, almost 2 tons. I mean, humongous nest. And what they say is this, that an eagle, because of the magnetic pull of its eyes, it doesn't migrate. It stays there. It keeps building the nest. And they build these nests, and they literally mate for life. I know some of you have gone through divorces and all, but, you know, God's best is still one life, one wife. And God wants you to stay there. We know you that gone through divorces, you would counsel other people. Listen, I made mistakes. I did this. I did that. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for cleansing. Thank God for putting us together. But it's great to tell young people, hey, stick it out. Just because she burnt the eggs, you ain't going to divorce her. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your enthusiasm, but that's the way it should be. All right. There's a number of things, and usually in Louisiana, you know, you don't have this, but in the mountain ranges, when an eagle builds a nest, he never builds a nest down low. An eagle always builds the nest up in the high places. He builds it up on a cliff. Many times, not even a tree, but they'll build it on a ledge of a great cliff. And the eagles go high, high, and they build these nests many times. And he seeks out a number of things. And one of the things that many times an eagle will do, he will seek out, after he builds this nest, he will seek out a rabbit, or he'll seek out a mink, or he'll see a fox. And he'll literally rip it apart and take that fur and line the inside of that nest with it. Come on, women. Good time to say amen. All the women need to say amen on that. And so they get this and they line it. And then they mate. And when they mate, they end up with a little egg. And guess what's in the egg? An eagle. That's right. Because you produce what you are. And you may want to produce something different, but you will produce what you are. And out of that little egg, they begin to do that, and they begin to feed it. And one of the amazing things about kids are, when you feed them, what happens to them? And when this little eaglet begins growing, the way it grows is this. I don't know if many of you remember this. Long before Mr. Gerber ever came on the scene, guess how Mama used to feed their little babies? They would take something off the table, what they were eating, put it in their mouth, and start this. Make sure there's no bones. Nothing hard. And then, here you go. Is that right? They ate what we ate. And that's how it is in the reality. You realize that those around you and those under you who you're responsible for are going to eat what you eat. And I found this, those that are feeding other people usually aren't the gossipers or the troublemakers. They're too busy eating because they know they got to feed Junior. They got to feed their help. They got to feed whoever's under them. They got to feed. They're generally eating too much of the word because they know they got to feed somebody. Come on, somebody say amen. Give them a good clap offering one more time. Come on. One of the things about the egg, when they're sitting on the egg, they take turns. If the female eagle leaves, the male eagle will sit on the egg. How is it that when the mama's gone, we say daddy's babysitting? Come on, somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Where is that in the Bible that daddy's babysitting? Daddy's not babysitting. Daddy's the parent. Daddy is as parent as the mama is. Kind of get a better amen this morning. Thank God for dads that are willing to pay the price. Thank God for dads that are willing to lay their lives down and parent their kids also. Because they need mama and daddy. They need the affirmation of a father in America. That's one of the greatest needs in America, is that young men and young women have fathers in the household that take time with them and love them. Come on, somebody. I'll never forget one of the ambassadors. I forgot where his name, but he kept a journal. And I remember this man was telling the story how one of the best days of his life was when his dad took him fishing. And many years later, they found the journal of that ambassador. And he wrote down, took son fishing, wasted day. Come on, somebody. Wasn't a wasted day. Whatever you do for the Lord. And you love those kids. One of the greatest needs in America today is the affirmation of a father in their lives, because it literally brings a wound. But one of the big things is they look for the rock. And when they build this nest, I love this because it says in Deuteronomy 32, look at this again. Deuteronomy says, like an eagle stirs up its nest. One of the things that an eagle will do is they stir up the nest. Junior, and here's one of the most important things. The day comes when you keep feeding little Junior. Rock, rock, rock. You know what a baby bird looks like? It's a mouth with a little bit of skin attached to it. Is that right? You know, I've been to hospitals with newborn babies. I had to lie through my teeth. Beautiful. They're so pretty. I'm thinking only a mama could love them. Yeah. But this bird keeps eating. And soon the day comes when the nest was built for two. Two's company, three's a what? And the day comes not when Junior decides, but when Mama decides. You're born to do what you were born to do. You were not born to live in this nest forever. You were born to fly. And what happens is Mama stirs up the nest. She goes in many times a day if they've lined it with fur. She'll come in, she'll grab the fur one day when Junior's out on, she'll get Junior out on a limb or out on the ledge. And he'll be walking around. He turns his head. Mama grabs the fur and throws it over the ledge. He looks back around and says, what happened here? He gets back in the nest, and then he says, you know, I can't quite put my claw on it, but something's different in this nest. And he sits down, and all of a sudden he sits on a thorn. Oh, he sits on a thorn. And suddenly it's not as comfortable as it once was. Mama, as an eagle, stirs up its nest. And suddenly the nest isn't as comfortable. Let me tell you something. You got to make your house uncomfortable sometime, or your kids will live with you forever. Come on, somebody. Some of you are paying and buying and doing and all that. You want a car? Go get you a job. Come on, somebody. You need to learn how to. You going to burn the tires off that thing? You putting the next set of tires on that thing. So mama stirs up the nest. It becomes uncomfortable. And suddenly, because they have to stand. Now they can't sit anymore. They can't lay. They got to sit. They got to stand on their talons. They got to stand on it. You know why? That's strengthening their legs for the landing and the lifting and the going. Because let me tell you something, when God makes your life uncomfortable, He's doing that for your good. He's not mad at you. He's not upset at you. He's teaching you how to stand when you don't know who. When you say, somewhere down the road, you're going to stand. You're going to use that misery for a ministry one day. You're going to be used of God. Never think that the reason your nest becomes too uncomfortable and when your life becomes uncomfortable, and God's pushing you out of the nest because you were born to fly. Oh, you ought to see this. Many times the eagles teach the young to fly so many different ways. They get them out many times just on the limbs and they go flutter. It says, as an eagle stirs up his nest, and it says, and flutters over teaching. Look here, what's going on. Exampling it before them. Go Deuteronomy 32. It says, it's exampling it before them. It says that literally says, as if that it flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them. Sometimes an eagle will do this. An eagle will literally get, the eaglet will jump on the back of the mama. And whenever it does, off she goes. They say when that happens, you never saw an eaglet hold on to a mama like he holds on. Mama, take me back to the nest right now. I command you in Jesus' name. Mama does not respond. Mama does not respond to that positive prayer. But they say many times what that eagle will do, he'll soar to the heavens and then flip over and release Junior. You talk about an accident waiting to happen. And that's mama say, fly, 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 bird, fly. And you know what happens? It says, catches them. You see Deuteronomy 32? See where it says, flutters over his young, spreading his wings, catch, everybody say, catching them. He doesn't know. He can't fall faster than mama can fly. Mama can dive bomb over 100 miles an hour straight down and catch him. And many times they've saw these birds do that. I'm going to tell you something. You can't fall faster than your God can catch you. Don't you worry. Come on, give him a good clap off him, would you? You don't worry. If you're falling, God can catch you. You can't fall faster than your God can fly. He's on the wings of the morning. God can do what He wants to do. And I'm going to tell you, there finally comes a time when, listen, he's an awesome discovery is this. He comes to the place where he spreads those wings finally and catches an air current. And that eagle for the first time can, I can fly. I can do this. I can fly. I'm going to tell you, we're born in more than just sit in a nest or sit in a church pew. Everybody get up right now. Get up. Everybody stand up. Turn around. Touch where you were sitting just now. Okay, sit back. You're made more than just warm your pew. Come on, somebody. All you do. All you're doing right now is warming a pew. You were made for more than warming a pew. And God will push you out. God wants to use you out on your job. You don't have to start. God will just use you over and over. And God will do tremendous things in your life. I'm going to tell you, He wants to do tremendous. Psalms 103, the last scripture this morning is this. Of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The first 5 years of an eagle's life, it literally goes through such a renewal. If you saw an eagle when it's about 1 year old and look at it again when it's 5 years old, you wouldn't even recognize it. The feather colors changes. The eyes change to a bright yellow from a dark brown. Depending on which eagle it is, its head changes colors. It's on and on. It's so much changing occurs. And then yearly, there's this molting process that an eagle will look at sometimes unkept or, just all old looking. It's molting. And then you see it in another week or 2 weeks or a month, it'll look brand new again. And literally, that's what David talks about when he says, your youth will be renewed like the eagle. There's four places, four areas I believe God wants to renew our strength this morning. One is in your sight and your fight and your might and in your flight. God wants to renew you. He wants to renew your sight. He wants you to be like an eagle. He wants you to have the ability to see. An eagle from 1,000 feet up can see a 3 mile radius. And within 3 miles, he can see a rabbit blink. Did you hear that? 1,000 feet up, an eagle can see a rabbit blink for 3 miles away. Come on, somebody. You know what that means? God wants you to be able to see again. You know, I don't know how your sight is. I don't know what's happened to your sight. Can you see the invisible? The Bible says Moses endured by seeing him who was invisible. There comes times when you need to be able to lift your eyes above all this thing of the earth and see the invisible. Jesus took the disciples one time in a city called Samaria. He said, go in there and get us some food. Find us something to eat. And they went in. And they came back out with food. But the Bible says that at the end of it, he told them, lift up your eyes. What do you mean, Lord? Because what happened was this. While they're gone, a Samaritan woman was at a well getting water. And Jesus talks to her. It was unheard of for a Jew to do that. He talks to her, tells her stories, and sees inside, and it amazes her. And she runs in the town. She's been married 7 times. And I tell you, when you're married in a little town 7 times, that means you've been related to everybody at one point or another. Is that right? Everybody's been your cousin. Everybody's been your aunt. Everybody's been, I don't know. And she goes in town. Here's what she says. Come see a man that told me everything I'd ever done. Whoa, the whole town comes out. They come out to see this man. And Jesus looks at them and he says, lift up your eyes, guys. You talk to the same people she just talked to. You saw only the material. You were in business. You were doing this. Your eyesight has been limited. You've been stunted in your eyesight. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They are white unto harvest. You didn't even know that guy'd get saved over there. You didn't even know that woman was ready to give me a chance in her life. You didn't understand that clerk at that store really was going through a battle of his life with cancer. You never even knew that. He said, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They are white. See, when a field was white, I grew up in farming. I farmed all my life. When a field is white, it's past ready to be harvested. That's when the white tops, tassels come out on the top. They already should have been harvested long ago. He said, this group should have been harvested long ago, guys. He said, lift up. Come on, somebody say, your sight. God wants to renew our sight. Second thing he wants to renew is our fight. Let me tell you something. When the beak, God wants you back in the fight. You can do all that again. God wants you to renew your might. The eagle's might. And what I like to do is the way he's mighty is, he's mighty through what he eats and what he breathes. Let me tell you what will make you mighty again. Renew your strength. If you want your strength renewed, you want your might renewed, let me tell you, start eating the right things again. You'll feel better. You may go through a detox time in the spiritual, but God will make you strong again. And then get back up in the heavens. Get back up soaring with God. Wait on the Lord. Wait on God. They that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles. Everybody say amen, would you? And then the light one is your flight. Mount up with wings like eagles. Do you want to soar? Do you want to go? Do you want to go again? The Eskimos say this. Nick, come on up. The Eskimos say this. Ever so often an eagle will eat an animal that's infected without knowing it. Whether it's a fish or a rabbit or a squirrel, that animal got infected some way, they didn't know it. And it will cause the eagle to become sick. And the Eskimos say an amazing thing. They say this. They believe, and this is Eskimo tradition, but they believe that when that eagle gets sick, it doesn't feel like hunting. It doesn't feel like flying. Its mate, though, is concerned for it. And its mate will come and bring it food. It'll tear up a rabbit. It'll tear up a squirrel. It'll get a fish. Rip it up and bring it before its mate. And they say one of the most amazing things occurs because they said we thought it was doing that just to feed their mate, give their mate some food. But said many times the mate will never eat it. But literally it'll cause the mate, they said it will cause the mate, and here's what the Eskimos say, a spirit of remembrance comes on that eagle. And he'll remember when he soared in the heavens. He'll remember when he used to dive bomb at over 100 and some miles an hour. You know, an eyesight, a fish, it can see into, when you're in a boat, it's hard to see the fish sometimes. An eagle can look right through that and see it 1,000 feet up. A spirit of remembrance will come on that eagle, they say. That's how the Eskimos phrase it. And it'll get up and it will take off again. And it will go find its own food. Because it will remember what it used to do. And I was praying for you guys last night and this week. I was praying, God, bring a spirit of remembrance. Remember the former days. Remember when you used to give up all your belongings for those that were... When you used to give it all. Paul wrote that in Hebrews. When you gave it all. Remember how you didn't count any of that stuff worth anything. Remember. Close your eyes this morning, would you? Maybe this morning you need a spirit of remembrance to fall on you. Maybe you've been living with the buzzards and the turkeys and you're back on the ground. I mean, you're back on the ground. You're just muddling through life. And this morning God wants you to rise up with wings like eagles. God wants you to take off again. You were not made to be earthbound. You were made to live in another citizenship. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're just a pilgrim and a sojourner on this land. You're just passing through. None of it's permanent. It's all going to be given away. Nothing you brought in, nothing you take out. You're citizens of a higher place than here. And this morning, let the spirit of remembrance fall on you. Remember how you used to soar. Remember when your diet was fresh, when your diet was only the Word, when your diet was the Spirit of God, when your diet was that. Remember. Father, this morning I just praise you. Thank you for stirring us up again. Thank you for stirring up our nest. Thank you for making it uncomfortable. Thank you for bringing us to a breaking point where we can say we want you. We want you more than we want everything in life. Lord, make us give. Renew our eyesight. Renew our ability to fight. Renew our might. And renew our flight in you today. Come on, everybody stand up. Nick Ridley, close your eyes and just sing that with us.
Oh, hi.
Jesus, do it, Lord, do it.
Oh,
cover me.
Within your mighty hands. When the oceans rise and thunders roar.
Come on.
Yes, I will soar with you
above the storm.
Father, you are king over the flood.
Come on.
And I will be still.
Sing that chorus again. Lift it up. Come on, sing it. Come on.
When the oceans rise and thunders roar,
I will
soar
with you above
the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still, know you.
Everybody say amen today. Give him a great clap offering. Would you do that? Come on. Turn around and give somebody a good high five this morning, would you? God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night, next Sunday morning. God bless you.